If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 51. Turn to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. Read along with me as I read the whole thing. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in the sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bone you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, and renew the right spirit in me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me by your gracious spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do not in your good pleasure do good. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of the righteous, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Will you turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter? I'm going to read the last couple of verses. I'll start at 36. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness at this hour and this place. We ask that your people's ears are open, that their eyes are open, and that their hearts are opened, that we might receive the engrafted word of God. Sanctify us by your word, because your word is truth today. Bless these words to encourage us, to chastise us, and to cause us to be more like Jesus every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, last week, Rob Bishop took us through a kind of rough journey. Amen. Hello? Hey, are you there? Can you hear me now? Okay. He took us through kind of a rough journey. Because he made us think of some things. And four things that he left us with was, one, to mourn, to pray with them for guidance, do something. And number four is have faith that God is in charge and will do something. And he talked about the division in our country and COVID-19, the division of the vision of what? Y'all are slow today. I got props and everything because I don't want to be here long. The division between, nobody wants to say it, black and white. Okay, Floyd, you're. Ooh, baby. God, you cannot. Please. Is there another church I can rent right now? Huh? The division between? Thank you, Jen. Thank you. Oh, my God. Ooh, I thought everybody went blind. The division between? Somebody said white and black. Shame on you. Okay, are we cool now? We're good? Yeah, we're on the same train? On the same train? Riding the same bus? Okay. Whew. You got me scared there for a moment. I thought I was thinking the wrong thing. So I need us today to do this, to think biblically and act accordingly. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. When I thought about what Rob was talking about last week, which was hard. It's always hard when somebody else is telling the story because they'll be the hero and you will be the villain. Wow, did you know that? Usually when somebody else is telling the story, they will be the hero. This is what's going on in your mind, and you will be the villain. But if you tell the story, guess what? You're the hero, and they become the villain. Isn't that interesting? Somebody has to stop and breathe, inhale and exhale, so that they realize that what we're going through today is a heart matter. It's not an external matter. It's not a black and white matter. It's a heart matter. Because you have this person believing that they're Christian, this person believing they're Christian, this person believing they're Christian, this person, but they're not acting like Christians. Is that all right for me to say? Huh? And those people are me. Beware of how you use pronouns. Because pronouns reveal what's in your heart. If those people didn't do that, then we'd be all right. Look at them. Huh. They're not like us. Instead of having that clean heart that makes us all one, because we always talk about unity, don't we? We want God to bring us together as one. Well, he can't do that with the them and theys and thus and all that. The other pronouns that don't include us. So I just want to talk about me, I. And it might happen to be you also. Create in me a clean heart, renew the right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Instead of this being such a traumatic time, which it is with COVID and racial divisions and all the things that we see and all the things that we say, we're in survival mode. But I want you to think about turning that just a little bit. Maybe it shouldn't be survival mode, but maybe we should be thriving. Even in this particular situation, when we look at the Bible and how God handles Israel, his people, in the Old Testament, even in bad times, they thrived. When they looked to the Lord and they did what he asked them to do. So, in the Bible, there are parables. Because this is a black and white situation, I have a parable for you. The parable of the zebra. First Floyd, chapter 1. You'll get this. So there is a controversy among the zebras. Because there are some zebras who are white with black stripes. And there are some other zebras who are black with white stripes. And some white with black stripes. So the teenage zebra came home to his parents and stuff. And the parent zebra could tell that something was wrong because the teenager wasn't on his phone and wasn't in the refrigerator. So it had to be something wrong with the teenager. And so the parent set him down and he said, well, what's going on? And he said, I hate my life. I hate my friends and stuff. They're just arguing. And what are they arguing about? They're arguing whether they are white zebras with black stripes or whether they're black zebras with white stripes or whether they're white zebras with black stripes. And I just said, I'm a zebra. And won't nobody talk to me now. I hate my life. I hate my life. And Mama Zebra looked at Daddy Zebra and said, we shouldn't have homeschooled them. Because now they have this problem and stuff. Society is pushing this. And then Daddy Zebra told Mama Zebra, you should tell them about zebras and stuff. Okay? We never talked about zebras and stuff. So they sit and they talked about zebras and things. And so it kind of calmed down because whatever you say you are, that's who you are. Whatever is in your heart, that's actually who you are. And it will come up. That's why we're on this scripture, created me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. Well, the teenage zebra was kind of okay because mom and daddy really didn't tell him anything. But they asked that question to mom and daddy. Mama, what kind of zebra do you identify yourself as? And she said, of course, a white zebra with black stripes. Daddy, what do you identify yourself as? And if he was smart, he would have said white zebra would, but he did not. He said black zebra with white stripes. And then they asked the teenage zebra, what do you identify yourself as? And it was hard for that teenage zebra just to say, a Christian. And I don't know how zebras scratch their head, but Mama Zebra and Daddy Zebra scratch their head. I hate mirrors, especially at this age. And I set them up so that I wouldn't have to look at them. How many of you all look in the mirror before you leave home? One, two, three, four, five, six. How many of y'all look in the mirror while you're driving? I had to do that. I'm sorry. My fault. As I get older, I have to look in the mirror to see who that is in the mirror. Who I wanted to be is maybe a 25-year-old Floyd with hair that's not gray, that doesn't go everywhere, not having hair come out of my ears long enough to hang shirts on, coming out of my nose waving, just things like that, just things like that. Or the complexion of my skin changing, and I begin to look like my mother and father because they had freckles and moles, and you can't see them through the beard and stuff because that's kind of why you had a beard. You know what I'm saying. But you look in the mirror and you see either perfection or imperfection. And at this time with COVID and racial strife, a lot of times what we see in other people, all right, are reflections of ourselves. Hello? Y'all still there? You don't have to say amen, okay? Or you can say amen for some. Sometimes we see the reflection of ourselves. Listen, stay off of Facebook, okay? Anybody know what I mean? Don't stay off of Facebook. So I'm on Facebook. I don't even have my picture on Facebook. It's just my name. Y'all know who I am and stuff like that. And I very seldom comment on Facebook because it's just a lot. It's just a lot of stuff on Facebook that will influence you and cause you to reveal your heart. Did you get that? To reveal your heart. I'm not going to friend you because I don't want to hear all your stuff. And I really don't want to know all your heart and stuff, because a lot of times on Facebook, we don't think about what we like and what we share. So there are a lot of wonderful things, especially recipes that I will never cook, but I can watch somebody else cook and then go make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or inspirational phrases or Bible verses or testimonies and stuff, and some news that I might want to look at. Well, something caught my eye this week. It was the murder of a child in North Carolina, which is horrific. And it's doubly horrific for me because I've lost two kids in my lifetime. And that you don't wish on anybody. But what caught my eye was somebody was comparing it to George Floyd's murder and wondering why the media was not covering it like that. These people are believers. They are Christians. Might sound a little judgmental, because I wouldn't do that. I ain't even for that. But it brought to mind to me my own heart, what I say, what I do, what I share, and from the filters that are in me. And I realized this. I need God to create in me a clean heart and to renew the right spirit within me. Not to cast me away from his presence, because if I'm away from his presence, I'm going to do what I want to do, right? I'm going to say what I want to say. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me, even in this time of COVID, even in this time of strife, the joy of my salvation. And you know what? I'm going to be all right. I'm going to know how to act. I'm going to know how to reflect you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do, even if it goes against the tide. So I'm looking at this post, and it says, how come they don't cover this child's murder like they covered Mr. Floyd's murder? And I thought in my mind, what is important? The tit for tat? Y'all know tit for tat, right? Tit for tat. You hit me, I hit you back. Eye for eye. Y'all know that? Kind of Old Testament stuff and stuff. But the Bible tells us that because of the new covenant and stuff, to love our... Oh, okay, there's some brave people in here that read the Bible and stuff. Love our... Oh, wow. To love our enemies. Love them with our mouth. Love them with our resources. Love them with our hands. Love them with how we speak about them. Love them with how we don't speak about them. Because you know the best thing to do in this particular situation, if you want to call somebody something, you can. But the clean heart will actually make you call them by their name. Call them by their name. Not them, not they. Those people. Call them by their name. And you can find their name in the Bible as you see that we are made in the image and the likeness of God. Let me go back to that example. I don't like what happened to that 5-year-old kid. He was murdered while riding a bike. That makes me mad. That pisses me off. Write your letters to Pastor Pat, okay? That pisses me off. Number one, I've lost 2 granddaughters and stuff. So I'm thinking that if you're a believer and stuff and you see this, and that makes you mad and stuff and you want to say something about it, somewhere in there that ought to be, and let's pray for the family. And let's pray for the healing of the nation. And let's pray for this spirit of rebellion that is just in everybody, even in believers, by the way they talk and by that way they act. God created us a clean heart so we can respond to what's going on. Because in that situation, there are 2 families who are torn because of the tragedy and the decisions that people have made for them. Lives are lost. Things won't be the same. People are struggling with their relationship with God because this happened to a man, to a father, to a little bitty boy. What kind of world are we in that we have to survive like that? Well, if we have a clean heart, we're going to turn that survival into thriving. Because there is a word from the Lord. And it's to us today. Create in me a clean heart. Well, old Floyd, what did you do? How did you respond to that? Go to my website and see. No, I didn't. Because when the Lord spoke to me, he spoke to me. He didn't speak to those people who were putting that out. He spoke to me. And this is a familiar scripture that you might have heard in church for a long time. Judge not, lest ye not be judged. For with the same judgment that you judge, you shall be judged. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. Give and it shall be given. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you might, it will be given back to you. Now, a lot of times, that scripture, portion of scripture, has been misused for offering. Given and shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give back to you. Hallelujah, give me another $100. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the scripture in context. It says, mercy. Give mercy like that. Mercy. You know, if somebody understands that you have mercy for them, that turns the situation around. How do you respond to mercy when somebody has mercy upon you? I'm going to give you an example for my friend. My friend was speeding. And the highway pastor turned on the lights to pull him over and collect some tithes. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So he pulled him over, and he's fumbling for his stuff. He knows he got insurance, he knows where the license and stuff is, but he actually lives in America. Now, I don't know if he's a white zebra with black stripes or either a black zebra with white stripes and stuff, but you know when the popo pulls you over, this is for my friend, it's not for me, okay? You get kind of nervous and stuff. And at this particular time, I was going somewhere and I wasn't paying attention, and in New Mexico, if the light changes, there's at least how many cars that goes through the light? Y'all new here? Huh? It's at least three cars that go through the light. And I decided to be the third car that day. My friend decided to be the third car that day. Oh, Jesus, now they know. And so he stopped me and stuff. And, you know, in the back of my mind, and you might not have this problem and stuff, that I have not had a good relationship with the thought of being stopped by police. I did not say I didn't have a good relationship with police, because you know what? Something happening on Orange Street, I'm calling 911 and I'm timing you, because you better be coming, okay? All right? So the thought process and stuff, and he pulled me over, I showed him my stuff, and of course my sticker was not on my license plate. It was in the car somewhere with the other stuff. My friend's sticker was in the car. And I'm just saying, okay, well, God, I did it. I'm going to get it. And he said, where are you going? I'm going to a doctor's appointment. And my wife in the car with me, so I wasn't lying. I mean, he had his wife in the car with him, so he wasn't lying. And he said, be more careful. That does not always happen to me and stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, Floyd, you need to really examine how you feel about police and your interaction. Not always what you see or what you hear. Those are some isolated events and stuff. But examine your... Y'all got to stay with me because we're about to go home. Heart. Examine your heart. So my challenge to you today is that in your filters, in your life, are there things that prevent you from responding in a Christ-like way to what's going on in our world today? To the COVID, to the crisis. Because it's part of who we are now. It'll go away, it'll subside, something else will come up, but how are we responding in our heart? Because it comes out in our mouth. and on pages that are there forever. And the interesting thing, the thing that helps me, is you don't know the whole story, but yet you have opinion. I don't know the whole story, but yet I have opinion. When I heard about that child being shot, I had opinion from my own filters and stuff. But then when I exhaled, I said, Lord, I need to pray for both families. I need to pray for everybody who's involved and stuff, because you're not going to see that on the paper. When one of my situations happened, before I knew it, there were people from this church knocking on my door. What can we do? Can we hold you? Can we pray for you? What can we do? Not asking me what happened or who we gonna get or anything like that. How can we lift you up? Because we love you with the love of the Lord. And we want to show you that you are part of us. We don't need to know the circumstances or situation, but we want to show you Jesus. That's thriving. That's not surviving. And that's what we're called to do at this particular time. It's kind of rough. It's kind of tough. But I don't know if you've imagined or it's been brought to your attention of the many people who serve us just as people. Have you thought about that? You might have heard other people, and we thank everybody who is who's at the supermarket and who's at the hospital and who does this and keeps us open and things. How fortunate are you to leave here today and go do the stuff that most of the stuff that you've always done? There's two or three people who are fortunate. How many of you all have thanked the people who are cashiers, vampires, who take your blood, who are at the emergency room right now, who give you injections when you need them, 24/7 and stuff? And maybe you have a job like that and stuff. Or do we just assume that they should be doing that anyway? Because it's all right, because we are Americans, right? If we had a clean heart, we could look at that, and we could appreciate that, and it would show. And when it shows, somebody's not just drawn to you, they are drawn to Christ. We talk about evangelism and discipleship and stuff. Be Christ to somebody. And especially among ourselves, because sometimes we feel safe with just talking whatever's on our heart and stuff. I'm going to ask you today to be able to filter it through a clean heart. That means you got to whoa and stop before you speak. I don't know. That's such a hard thing. Whoa and stop and think. Does it need to be said? Is it helpful? Is it encouraging? Is it edifying? We have instructions for that. Because things are going to continue to happen, but we have to know how to respond to things. Because everything is not or... Wow. Wow. While we're talking about so many other things are happening, but we're just focused on wow. Did you know in the rainbow there is no or? I wonder why. I got a phone call. All right, stop it. That's an important phone call. Because through all this, I said stop. Through all this, we're still living, we're still dying, we're still being born, we're still going to church on Sunday, we still got to go to work and make sure that the gas is on. God is not impressed with what we are doing and what we're responding, because he's called us to love one another. In fact, he said, you can tell, kind of tell, yeah, you can tell if you have a clean heart, because you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, period. We will hold church until you answer the rest of that. Thank you, Deacon. All right. And love your neighbor as yourself. We have no excuse, especially when we have a clean heart. So let's work on our hearts. Let's work on our hearts. Just to let you know that this is real, real for me, I have to be able to teach my great grandson, who was born on Thursday, how to love the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love his neighbor as himself. Well, what kind of zebra is he? Is he a white zebra with black stripes? Or is he a black zebra with white stripes? The answer will come when he tells me. So you see, while we're focused on that and that, there are many other shades of life that we're going to have to appreciate. And God knew that. His son knew that, because he gave us a commandment to go into the white neighborhood and teach the gospel. The black neighborhood and teach the gospel? Where did he tell us to go? I hate that word all now. I hate it because it makes me think, causes me to think, do I have a clean heart? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power behind your word, and release your word in your people. Not just here, but everywhere, God, that we need to come to you with our heart just like it is, so you can clean it up and you can show us how to love one another as you have commanded us. It's not too hard, God. It's not beyond us. It's not a survival method. It's the way that we thrive. Cause us to lay down, as we learn from each other, everything that would separate us from the love of God. God, I pray for those families who are mourning, especially Cannon's family in North Carolina. What a tragedy. What a situation that would question who you are and how much you love us. But show yourself. Show up. Show up in that situation, in every situation that divides us from seeing the power and the presence and the image of God in others, God. Clean our heart. Clean our clocks, God. Cause us to know who you are as we breathe in and breathe out. Thank you for delivering us from COVID-19 and from separation and racism in this country, because we know that you have a plan bigger than what we can see. Bless us as we leave this place to be your ambassadors. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go in his peace.